This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Yeah! Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
I want you, I need you, I want you to be my tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I sit up here and I cover this stuff, and a lot of times we'll be far off from something and I make a prediction because of all the different data points I've got, and it's usually pretty darn on target. But let me tell you, it's not a good feeling to now have them openly announcing world government, openly announcing the UN is going to run race relations in the U.S. and our local police departments. That's in the Washington Post. But at the same time, I guess it's good news because our credibility is going to go up. It is going up. People are really listening now. Hillary's having to counter us. But then we know what the next shoe to drop is. They're going to shut us down. And they just shut down Michael Savage. He told me the week before they were trying to censor him at CBS. We're 2 days into him being off the air, and people are not even making a big deal out of it. Because, again, we're Americans. This can't happen here. I think we have to admit it did happen here, Dr. Group.
You know, you were talking earlier, you know, are we making progress? Are we getting the information out? And I say yes. And I really think that we are at a tipping point and they are starting to realize that. And they know that there's so many people going online. There's so many people out there that are outspoken now. Their lies are being, you know, discovered. They're being open. Everybody's starting to realize it. So the next step, I mean, obviously, get the UN involved. You can blame it on the UN. That way it doesn't have anything to do with the U.S. government. And it really is kind of scary thinking about what's going to happen here in the next couple of years, what direction we're going to go. Think about it. I mean, what happens if they shut the internet down? I mean, that's going to completely restrict access to people getting everything they need to protect themselves. It's going
And who takes the UN over in 3 days? I mean, who takes the internet over in 3 days?
Yeah. I mean, another thing that's looking around, and one of the hot topics right now that we're getting at our office is just like, how many people do you know that are happy? I mean, you have the so much controversy going on with the elections. You have people that are just under so much stress these days. And by the way, stress is another big factor.
I know liberals, fake liberals that have always been friendly to me that now are mad at me and won't talk to me when I see them. And I'm like, hey, I forgive you for being a gun-grabbing idiot. Why do you have to hate me now? And they're so unhappy.
It's like spreading in a way, and I think that, you know, back to the gut issue, how important it is, because 90% of the serotonin is produced in your gut.
And they admit anxiety, depression, it's all record high.
You have more nerves. Think about the brain. Think about how many nerve pathways you have in the brain. You have more in your stomach and digestive tract than you do in your brain. Your appendix, which I've said for a long time, is one of the most important things. It's really your microcomputer system of your whole body. Your appendix is your brain. It actually squirts out probiotics when you need it.
Yes.
It's the Russians and the Germans link the appendix to controlling every system in your body, the endocrine, the neurological system. And what do? We cut it out. But one of the good things about people really repairing and getting that gut, that's those 3 pounds is what you're supposed to have of good bacteria, which, wow, by the way, weighs as much as your brain. Your brain weighs 3 pounds, so go figure on that one. But when you do have
the bacteria are part of a high-tech electrochemical sensor system interfacing with our brain. The gut is hooked into the spinal cord, and it's just the bottom of the brain.
Yeah, the gastrointestinal tract actually has a nerve running straight to the brain. It's called the vagus nerve.
Exactly. No, it's perfect sense. The brain runs the whole show, and it's down there. You know, it's enjoying the food itself. I mean, it's just the brain. The gut is the brain.
The gut is actually the brain, and the gut actually controls everything. And that's the biggest secret that the medical profession hopes you never find out.
Well, folks, right? Go with the gut. We've got the new probiotic, 7 years in the making. Biome Defense, game changer. I cannot hype how awesome it is. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or call toll free 888-253-3139. Dr. Grape, please come here and shoot some specials when you're done with meeting with the Harvard researchers to go over all this, to really break down how amazing this is. Thank you so much. You're a godsend. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Attention, investors saving for retirement. What if you could store your IRA or 401k where you can see, touch, and hold it in your hands in the form of physical gold and silver coins? You know you can't do that with your stocks. With the Augusta Gold and Silver IRA, you can transfer retirement savings into physical coins and store them where you can actually hold them in your hands, where you can get your gold fast in a disaster. Augusta Precious Metals offers free shipping, zero management fees, and Augusta pays all upfront costs. Getting started is absolutely free, so call today, 855-222-5857. Rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau, Augusta Precious Metals enjoys a 98% 5-star customer satisfaction rating with TrustLink.org. Trust Augusta. Call toll-free, 855-222-5857 now for your free guide to Augusta Gold IRAs. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857.
Dude, what happened to your face? My razor. Trying to save money on blades. You should try Harry's. Harry's. I think I read an article in the journal about them. The two guys who started that company with its own factory in Germany?
Right.
And they sell online. Look, open a new tab and go to harrys.com. See, you can get great quality razors at a fraction of the cost.
Whoa, and those razors look so cool.
These guys get you whatever you need to look and feel like you're ready for that promotion.
So I could save money and
look as good as me?
Get a great shave with Harry's. With Harry's, you get a clean, smooth shave at a fraction of the cost. And because Harry's owns the factory, you never overpay. So what are you waiting for? Go to harrys.com right now, and Harry's will send you a razor, one of their quality blades, shaving cream, and post-shave balm for free. Just cover shipping. Just go to harrys.com now and enter code 9191 at checkout to claim your gift. That's harrys.com, code 9191.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-803-5505. 800-803-5505. 800-803-5505.
Wednesday, September 28th, 2016, marks only 40 days in the countdown to the general election. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown. The final countdown.
All right, folks, it's the countdown. Only 40 days out. Now, until about 40 after, speak of the devil. We've got Steven Crowder, who my son's a big fan of, but a lot of folks my age are as well. Hell, I'm not that old at 42. I've been watching him for years since he was a TV star on national television. But I'm not going to go over his whole background. Comedian, radio host, conservative, and author of LouderWithCrowder.com, reaching millions and millions of people every single week. Just all part of the burgeoning, independent, true liberal. I mean, I think we're classically liberal. Lower taxes, right to self-defense, private property. Practice your religion or don't. The opposite of the modern fascistic liberals. But this guy's also hilarious. So I want to play a clip of him imitating Shinker, Unker, Tunker, or whatever his name is, from the Young Turks when they invited me up on the stage, folks, at Radio Row. It was all packed in there. And then they blew up once I got up there. I don't think he knew they invited me. It was a setup. He went completely crazy. They spit on me. They called me fat. When he put photos of me, I mean, I got a big head, but I'm not that fat anymore. I guess I'm husky. I guess kind of like Steven, but he's in better shape than I am. And they just totally went crazy. And so I'm not going to play the whole skit. They're on louderwithcrowder.com. He's the guy that famously dressed up and went into one of the fitness places, you know, saying he was transgender, but they kicked him out. He really illustrates their absurdity quite well, and they hate him. So let's play a few minutes of him playing the part of the head young turd.
I agree with you, Cenk. So f***ing much.
That's absolutely right. When you use the F word, you know it's real talk. Okay? So we have a bunch of people who wanted to make phone calls to the show because we wanted to have a discussion. So let's have the first caller.
Hi, Cenk. Paul Joseph Watson here, first-time caller. I'd really like to get your clarification on the Armenian genocide, specifically if you accept the historical fact that it happened.
Okay, all right, I understand, because that's bullshit! Get the f*** off the phone! That's racist! Get off the phone!
Get the f*** off the stage, you blue-eyed, limey f***! Shut up, bitch!
Okay, we're trying to have a reasonable discussion! F*** you!
Hi, Cenk. I'm not sure if you remember me. I was on your show a while back, and you asked me, demanded that I make you a ham sandwich, and I was just kind of wondering if you still wanted that sandwich. I could probably put it in the mail for you.
Okay, Karen, everybody knows I said that as a joke. Okay, and you didn't make me have that was just bullshit!
Let's stop right there. Now that's him doing his imitation of Cenk, which if you've actually watched him and how he blew up at me, I thought it was all a joke before because they're one of the few shows that said, we're going to yell at you a little bit. Are you okay with that? It's not staged, but I said, sure, I'll yell back at you. You know, that's fine. I've probably been on the show more than 10 times, and they brought me up there. Acted like it was a setup, acted like Roger Stone tried to take over. Roger's like 15 feet away in a hallway. Internet thought that we were like in their studio in L.A. and had invaded. No, it was like Radio Row, everyone 10 feet apart, crammed in to a parking garage that they put air conditioners in. So I don't know if this guy's crazy or what, but the point is, I don't want to make this whole interview about that. I want to get Steven Crowder's take on the election, on the debate, on you know where this crazy world's going. But I got to tell you, the young Turks are really pieces of work. So great job imitating him.
Well, thank you. It's always painful for me to go back and watch myself. But when I see that, I don't even see myself. I see Cenk in there. You know, it was really bizarre, that whole altercation with you and them. And I found it funny that someone who was Miss Body Positivity, strong feminist, went from zero to fat shaming in about like 2 seconds when she got mad with you right away. That was all she did. She just called you fat and swore at you and told you to get off. And then she's going to do a whole Young Turks piece about why we need to respect and ogle Amy Schumer's thighs. I think that's the big issue. You use the term classically liberal. People my age, just they're tired of being told how to think, I guess. People who are younger, and I don't use the term classically liberal, namely because there's no tag for leftist on YouTube, so people get mad with the wordplay. But, yeah, I think the Young Turks recently have been exposed. If you look at when I started on YouTube years and years ago, and you did, I think you guys started a little bit after and obviously grew much more quickly because, well, you guys are you. But the Young Turks were huge. They were wildly popular. They've attacked all of us very personally.
And they were always really backed by Google, always backed by Google, always pushed by the system.
Oh, yeah. We've had copyright claims just this week when we used newsworthy clips from the debates or whatever, or an interview maybe was before the debates. And they said, well, it wasn't fair use. I go, if it's not fair use, the Young Turks don't have a show. All they do is turn on Fox News for 3 minutes and then bitch for about 5.5 minutes. That's their entire show. But of course, their stuff doesn't get taken down. So I think people are aware now with Facebook, with YouTube, with Twitter, though I think YouTube is better than most of those other entities because there is a system for recourse. People are seeing for the first time this push that is coming from the progressive left.
Sure. And that's why very astute, Steven Crowder. That's where I was going. The reason I first played this clip, and I was about to say why I played it, is because the censorship. Michael Savage taken off 2 days ago. We're talking about Hillary's health. I talked to him. That's what happened. Okay, this is really going on. The UN coming in and saying we want reparations for black Americans when the UN is literally displacing African tribes and killing them on record from Rwanda to you name it right now. I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle evil. We have all this unfolding. We have total censorship in Europe. Classical tyranny calls to censor the internet. The UN gets control of the web in 3 days. I mean, these people are true authoritarians, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you use the term globalist a lot, and then a lot of people take it and they don't really know what they're talking about. And when you set up everything as a globalist agenda, well, then when there's really a globalist problem, it sort of falls on deaf ears. The UN situation, when Barack Obama, I'm sure you covered this, went before them and said
last week,
the U.S. is going to have to do with some less freedoms for basically the greater good of the planet. That is actual. It's not a conspiracy. That is actual. The UN, some form of a global governing entity, and Barack Obama saying that he is willing to give up American sovereignty and the rights of Americans who didn't sign off on this to appease the UN, who might as well be called the I Hate America and Israel Club. Let's be honest. That is an issue I am dumbfounded that more media entities didn't pick up. And the same thing with the internet. I mean, listen, if you really want a true and free internet, unless you believe that you're going to be favored somehow, you should be absolutely mortified at this idea of the internet being.
And by the way, we have the George Soros emails, thanks to WikiLeaks, just from 5 weeks ago, that say we're going to use this UN takeover to favor our operations and shut down our competition. But forget that. We have Hillary's email a month ago, 3 weeks ago, saying the alt-right has no right to exist. So, Stephen, let me bring this up since you kind of halfway, not really jabbed, but brought something up. I would watch world leaders at Davos online 6-7 years ago call for world government. I would come out and say it. People would say I was making it up. So I never said globalism was everything. And I know you're talking about other people.
Not you.
No, I mean, but other people do make stuff up. I agree with you. But the point is, it's so unbelievable. I don't blame folks for denying it's happening because it sounds so crazy. But now it really is happening. So I have to tell you, I felt like I was out on a limb 20 years ago talking about this. Now I don't. So let me ask you this question. What do you think starts to happen as the most radical concerns we had as libertarians or conservatives actually come true? What does that portend?
Gosh, it's a good question, especially in an era of someone like Donald Trump, where, you know, you see someone who could have some authoritarian tendencies on certain issues and certainly could be incredibly progressive in a good way on other issues, including government. Here's my point. I was saying, you know, for example, when I say, gosh, I was watching the debates and I've tried to be fair to someone like Donald Trump when I think he's right, support him when I think he's right, and criticize him when I think it's fair. I've been told that my career will be destroyed proactively by people, you know, in this sort of conservative movement. We could talk about that off air.
Nationalist populist movement. There are people that get really mad if you don't support Trump.
Well, a good example, like when I say, hey, oh, man, he dropped the ball on the no fly list answer.
I totally agree.
And then they go, well, that's because you're a globalist. No, that's where it's misused. I can disagree with Donald Trump on an issue, particularly domestic policy as it relates to the Second Amendment, and people just toss out globalists to anyone they disagree with. My point is, when you do that, it dilutes what you're talking about, what I'm talking about. Barack Obama standing in front of the UN saying, we are going to give up Americans' rights for the betterment, not even of the world, really the UN agenda. That is true world government globalism, and that is terrifying to me.
You're absolutely right. And now the administration admits that. And specifically, what you hit is absolutely on target, because we were talking before we went live. You said, listen, I don't know if it's okay, but I'm going to go after Trump a little bit here. I mean, obviously he's better than Hillary, but I'm going to go after Trump because, you know, his no-fly thing. I said, hey, listen, stop and frisk. I don't agree with that either. He has some of these authoritarian leanings, but at least he's not a globalist, which just means wants to sell us out to multinational interest, wants to sign over our sovereignty, wants to do one-sided trade deals. I get those real problems. And I think those of us that really do support Trump have to, though, keep his feet to the fire and legitimately say where he's wrong. I mean, Hillary is wrong. Rahm Emanuel's wrong, who first came up with this, saying, we'll just put you on an extrajudicial list and then not let you have guns. Well, no, that's totally anti-American, and Trump's wrong.
Right. Well, and what concerns me is the fact that he's gone back and forth on that, which tells me he doesn't really understand that issue. Listen, just because someone is put on an arbitrary list with no type of process that's disclosed, no appeal process that's even available, doesn't mean because you sort of say, well, we'll make it easier for them to get off. No. You don't get to take away someone's basic fundamental human right because of some arbitrary list created by the government. And the fact that he didn't, for me, that was the biggest headbanger moment from his side.
No, I agree.
The debate. I was really upset.
Well, the stop and frisk thing, too. I mean, I get these are high crime areas. I get it's people dressed in gangbanger garb, but still not due process. And I get the Chicago and places are falling apart. Right. Well, how do you handle a place that has more murders than basically half the country combined, like Chicago, run by Democrats, And then people say, hey, start a stop and frisk, get cleaned up New York. I mean, I agree. It's unconstitutional. It's very authoritarian. I don't like it. But do I want 2,000 dead black people?
Right. Well, that's a good point you just brought that up. See, you had a legitimate criticism with Donald Trump and stop and frisk, and you explained it. What's the left criticism? It's racist! Right? It's not racist. That's not the point. The point isn't, no, you can say it's unconstitutional. You don't have the right to do this. So the problem is, even when there are legitimate criticisms of Donald Trump or, of course, Hillary Clinton, the left has diluted, and then a lot of people who are ill-informed on the right have diluted it to the point where it's like, well, you're not making legitimate criticism.
So let me ask you this. Where is it going then?
You mean the election?
I mean, just all of it, because it seems like I was always more of a libertarian, bashing Republicans and Democrats, but the Democrats really have, like, mutated into this just crazy town where that, I mean, I'll be out at an event and they'll have a gay pride parade and they'll run up and say, you're a homophobe. I've never bashed gay people. That's not my issue. I don't like them going in with their leftist agenda of gun control, you know, into the schools attached to it, but I'm not against them. And I say, where have I bashed people's right to live their lives? Oh, you're a racist. You're a homophobe. Donald Trump's a homophobe. Donald Trump's never been that.
No, Donald Trump hasn't. Listen, I think of the legitimate criticisms of Donald Trump, the fact that he's a racist or a homophobe is not one of them. And so I think you're seeing the left shoot themselves in the foot. That's why they're going, bring out Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns. Do the Joss Whedon video with all the celebrities we can get together. Here's something, too, I'm sure you've noticed and you'll enjoy. Remember, it used to be the Vote or Die campaign with P. Diddy and Cameron Diaz, and they came out and Drew Barrymore, they would say, I don't care who you vote for. I just want you to register and vote. Now they've come out and just said, you have to vote Hillary Clinton. So what's happened is this, it's really shined a light on the bias, the implicit.
Yeah, the pretense that they weren't biased is all gone.
That's all gone, and that's a wonderful thing. I will say this. Politically, I don't know. This election, anyone who says they can predict it is, you know, listen, they don't have a crystal ball, and this is so unpredictable. The Clintons are the masters of the October surprise. It could go either way. So I don't try and in sort of dabble in that realm, because I know that if these people who are experts get it wrong half the time, I don't have a shot. I will say this. Politically, it could be dark for a while. Could not be, but it could be dark. The winning issues, I do think, where we are seeing progress, and sorry, the words are hard to use. I know you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, they're taking all the words over, is we have crashed through political correctness. Trump has made it safe for people to break out of this little box. Is that what you're about to say?
Well, no, I think there are four winning issues. If I'm advising a Republican candidate, guns are a big winning issue. Calling Islamic terrorism what it is, people can do that now.
Feminism, taxes.
Well, I don't think with young people. I think the gender roles, this whole LGBTQ, AAIP, there's a rejection of that, and free speech. Those four issues are strong winning issues for the right, for libertarians, for conservatives. And I think they would do better to focus
on that. Well, they admit that Trump's done bad with millennials, but now they're slipping with Hillary.
Yeah. Well, that's just because of Hillary who comes in. Hey, guys, I got hot sauce. Don't you like me, blacks? I mean, the pandering is just so easy to see with Hillary Clinton. With millennials, she's like the uncomfortable aunt.
It's like a weird granny who's really a James Bond villain. Since you mentioned this UN clip, it's a minute long. Here is the UN clip of Obama saying, you know, Americans, I got to get on them sometimes. They don't want to adhere to international standards. Standards that a bunch of offshore mega banks who literally are funding anti-gun programs here, that's who the globalists are. These big corporations that just want to play God, they want to have a corporate takeover of the free market, and they want Obama to sell us this idea, to transfer our rights into these nebulous TPP agreements. Here it is.
But we have to put our money where our mouths are. And we can only realize the promise of this institution's founding to replace the ravages of war with cooperation if powerful nations like my own accept constraints. Sometimes I'm criticized in my own country for professing a belief in international norms and multilateral institutions, but I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, not giving up our ability to protect ourselves or pursue our core interests, but binding ourselves to international rules over the long term enhances our security.
And I think now, again, Stephen Crowder, LottoWithCrowder.com, a TV radio host, what do you think we should do about these moves towards global government? What should we do about the Washington Post with the UN panel headed up by Saudi Arabia? That's a joke. Human rights panel saying white people owe black people for a history of racial terrorism. I mean, what if you're Russian in background and have no national history of even being connected to Africans? Still, you've got to pay reparations?
Yeah, I'm still listening to that. It's unbelievable. If I were to write a script of an evil leader, you know, who's trying to subvert the American system to globalism and write what Barack Obama just said, producers would say this is too obvious. No one would ever say this, and they would toss it away. It is that bad at that point. They're saying it openly. As far as what they should, you know, the reparations thing is so silly. I was raised in Canada too. So there is there's a race to victim culture right now. I mean, look at, you have Rachel Dolezal and Sean King competing to be black because they get a leg up. If you were a victim, an actual victim, if it were a disadvantage in the United States, you wouldn't have more and more people faking that they're black. You wouldn't have people who are biracial, people like Barack Obama, raised to white parents, who decide to identify and claim entire blackness. And then, of course, they say people like Ben Carson and Herman Cain aren't actually black. So the reparation situation is so
sure,
silly.
But also most whites immigrated to the U.S. after slavery, and most European countries have no connection, and England ended international slave trade. Saudi Arabia was the last country to supposedly get rid of it in 1968. Right. How in the hell is it always Muslims lecturing me that I am involved in the slave trade? I mean, this is crazy.
Well, why aren't they asking the African slave traders to give reparations if they're going to go back that far?
Exactly.
They sold them into slavery.
So are we seeing a peak in social justice warriors, or are we wrong? Is it about to get even worse?
Well, I hate to use it because that term peak oil, remember that was the scare tactic with climate change, peak oil, and it never happened. For people listening right now, I get criticized often because of they claim you're a climate denier, which I'm not. I just don't think the Kyoto Protocol or Bernie's tax plan would fix climate change. Remember, peak, there's more oil now than ever. There's more.
Sure, that was proven to be bull.
Right, peak oil. So peak social justice warriors.
Yeah, how crazy will they get?
I don't know if they're in their death throes right now. It does depend on what happens with the education system. It does depend on what happens with, you know, if conservatives are able to continue getting a foothold. You know, obviously people like you, people like Paul Joseph Watson on YouTube and able to get that information out there. If that happens, I think we stand a chance culturally. It's still hard to fight against people who want free gimmies financially. That's why, you know, we look at our analytics. You know this. You have, I'm sure, robust analytics online. We can see on YouTube. We can see on social media, the website. A lot of the Trump people were Bernie people.
Yes.
So a lot of them were still, you know, that's sort of economic protectionism. And sometimes he kind of gives these veiled promises to unions, which I'm not super thrilled about. But you see a lot of young people who like the free stuff from Bernie, like the what are you going to do for me, that sort of populism. But they were sort of social justice leftists. And so obviously there's been a flipping of the priority right now with sort of this adherence to populism. So I can't predict it, but like I said, I think those four winning issues are guns, gender roles, terrorist Islam, and free speech. If we can focus on those are winning arguments with the vast majority of millennials. Don't be fooled by the college students, the triggly puffs who just scream the loudest. I think they're a dying breed. I hope, Alex.
Well, but the way I don't hope, because it's so entertaining. I mean,
it is. It's tough when you show up on this. Well, I don't know if you ever saw that clip. I showed up. I was Milo and Christinoff Summers, and I feel bad because
it was great.
Trigglypuff. But I came out, and I've done stand up my entire life, and she was giving me the finger. I don't know if I can, because I don't know if you have to blur it. So I don't.
No, it's incredible.
It.
You did an amazing job.
Well, she did. It was like she didn't have enough fingers to give, and I hadn't even said anything yet. That was, and if it seemed like I was mean to her, I hope people watching understand, my job is not to convince the crazy, so invested social justice leftists. You're wasting your time, but you can convert the 3-4 million people who saw that video and saw the hypocrisy.
Sure, it's like, don't become this poor brainwashed person by the cult that is modern liberalism, that is really authoritarianism, it's really mind control. We'll be right back with a little bit more time with Mr. Crowder. But this is what he was mentioning earlier, Anna Kasparian from the Young Turds, flipping out on me for no reason. We'll be right back. Stay with us on the other side.
A lot of the people that are picking on him for his weight gain aren't really lookers themselves.
Yeah.
And it's the classic bullying move where you want to feel better about yourself, so you look to someone and pick on their imperfections to feel good about yourself. It's stupid. She strikes me as someone who's actually trying to make a very serious and very terrible statement about overweight people. Look, I think that if someone if someone that cares about you tells you, like, hey, let's get healthy together, it's not fat shaming. You know, fat shaming is pointing a finger at you and being like, you're fat. I think that this study is really fascinating because, I mean, I can relate to it big time because when I was about 4 years old, my dance instructor told me that I was overweight. And
okay, so here's the deal, folks. These people are the biggest hypocrites in the galaxy. They are who they say they aren't. Studies show liberals are 6 times more likely to steal and more than 8 times more likely not to give donations. These are pigs. We'll be right back with Stephen Crowder. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com, Vlado with Crowder.com. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turn into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Come on, come on, come on, baby. Let me tell you something. There aren't many other big national talk show hosts, and I'm on less than 200 stations, but close to it. Savage is on over 400. There aren't many other hosts that have other hosts on. And Savage has me on his show. He has Paul Watson on. And until last week, he told me, hey, I want to air this segment. I go, great. You're fully authorized. He goes, no, I wasn't. Alex, I was talking to my producer. He goes, I know you let us play everything. You're awesome. I mean, he lovingly plays our stuff. He plays it like every week, our special reports. But he said, CBS is for the first time is shutting me down. And I said, elaborate. And he said, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And I've been talking to Savage. I mean, sometimes I have like 30-minute conversations with him. I've had 45-minute conversations with a guy hour-long before, you know, just sitting there talking on the phone. And he's never been alarmist, is what I'm saying. And I go, really? He goes, yeah, I may not be on very, you know, soon here. And then the next week, they cut him off WABC. They put guys on to make fun of him and say we've had a coup to set him up to make him get mad on air. He starts talking about it, and they cut him off 400 stations. And he's there on the internet finally at the end going, I'm not on air, I'm not on air. And they hadn't shut that off yet because he does his own internet streaming. He had to leave basically from the radio studio he was at to another one down the street because they'd cut that off. So I got to hand it to him. He's actually hooked into his different, you know, areas they don't control. But that happened. And then CBS goes, we don't know what's happening. This is exactly how they operate. And let me tell you, the censorship is intensifying. So that's why I love having somebody like Steven Crowder, who has, you know, 80-year-olds watching him and a lot of other folks. But I happen to know just from going to soccer games or tennis things and, you know, like walk by and the kids are on their smartphones during a water break. You're looking at ladderwithcrowder.com. My son, you know, I'll see the light on in his room. It's like 2 a.m. He's in there. I'm like, you're supposed to be doing homework on this computer, not watching, you know, Louder with Crowder. So that excites me because it's not just at my son's private school. Public schools, you name it. And what he was saying earlier, young people, I mean, let's say 10 years old to 30, 35, they're really rejecting this modern cult liberalism because they weren't raised racist and they're sick of hearing all. It's like, what is this? It's making them uncomfortable. They recognize it as authoritarianism. So in the time we have with you, Stephen, let's talk about that because are we winning the war? I asked this question earlier. Are we winning the war or losing it? But specifically with young people, because it seems like your demographic, Paul Watson's demographic, is, say, 30 years old down to about 10. And it's not embarrassing to have 10-year-olds watching. That's what the government wants. That's what the globalists want. They wish they could get 14-year-olds, you know. I mean, I'll go to some tennis camp with my son or some tennis tournament, you know, in New York, and you're there at breakfast, and there's kids from New York, and they're watching Louder with Crowder. That's exciting. They're watching Paul Watson.
Yeah, well, thank you. First off, for people watching, and I'm going to get complaints if they don't know this is a derogatory shirt of socialism. It's a parody because I can see Twitter right now. Why are you supporting Che Guevara? Of course I don't. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that in the kind words. I will say that's been a big thing for us in getting big guests where it turns out their kids are fans. So people like, you know, I think we had Ted.
No, that's why I'm trying to get you on.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah,
my son wants you on.
A lot of other hosts don't. So I appreciate it. You know, that's for us. A lot of times hosts are like, guy's too edgy. So I'm trying to turn off my internet here so it doesn't screw with this feed. So I appreciate it. And tell your son thank you very much. I will say this, you know, to be young, I guess, in the sort of conservative movement, well, you know, you were talking about AM radio or like Fox News. I mean,
no, you're the future, brother. I've been the guy that was the young guy. This is great. I mean, I want to win. I hope you get bigger than I am.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's in the cards, but I will say, you know, I was at Fox for a few years, right? And the median demo was like 72 and over.
Yeah.
And so without getting into too much inside baseball, I mean, listen, it's no secret that a lot of people there weren't big fans of what I did. You can look back and you can see me wearing a suit and a jacket and I'm uncomfortable because they needed to appeal to their base. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that business model. Our average viewer is a 28-year-old male online. You know, the millions of people who tune in and download and stuff, they're not numbers like InfoWars, but we're pretty happy that we're able to educate them. And obviously I started as a comedian and entertainer, but we really do try and bring them down the path. You know, our show is offensive to some people, and I'm sure your son has talked about that, but that's not the goal. To me,
but it's okay. That's part of why they like it, though. It's good because it's better than The Daily Show or MTV, who Sumner Redstone admits is targeting my son. Thank God that Steven Crowder and Gavin McGinnis have him instead of Sumner Redstone.
Well, gosh, can you believe Trevor Noah? Why do we have a South African telling Americans what they should do in regards to personal self-protection? It is unreal here what's happening with MTV and Comedy Central.
I mean, they admit it's come out that they say, we're going to teach your 10-year-old how to be gay. It's like, I'm not against gay people, but I don't want anybody talking to my 10-year-old about sex, period. You're going to get punched in the nose.
I don't even know. Wouldn't that go against their narrative that you don't choose? Of course, you don't choose to be gay. How do you teach someone to be gay? It's just it's so silly. And here's the thing, too. This whole non-binary gender issue, LGBTQ, AAIP, they keep adding to the acronym. Like you were talking about with your son. Let me go back to the original question, because we could just talk all day about this. With the Black Lives Matter thing.
Oh, yeah. I want to bring that up. Boy, I mean, what a joke.
Well, here's the thing. Like your son, you said, is 11?
No. My daughter is 12. My son's 14, but he's been watching it since he was about 12.
Okay, so 14 years old. Here's the deal. When I was raised, Family Matters and Fresh Prince were the biggest sitcoms around. One dad was black families, one dad was a judge, one dad was a cop. These weren't black shows. These weren't BET shows. Most people who watched them were white people. So obviously at that point, white people were comfortable enough and liked these family-centric shows. I don't think you could do that today. When I was raised in a post-racial America / Canada, that's very different from today, where you have people who've made everything about race. I was talking about this with people. Look at Charlotte. When people see homeless people getting kicked, if you look at I don't know if it was Dartmouth, but the video I'm sure you guys ran where she was saying, I love your white tears. I want to see you cry to the girl in the library. Here's the deal. That girl who's crying, maybe she's not a racist, but the guy next to her is seeing the Black Lives Matter activists being violent and saying they hate white people and white devil. And guess what? He's becoming a racist. And so my concern.
And the fact that the media doesn't decry it and legitimizes it is going to create a bunch of white racism.
Yes, I think that this generation coming out, the younger millennials, will be far more racist than my generation or the generation before.
Oh, I agree. I was raised, I did not hear anything racial. In fact, my parents were more conservative Republicans, but Republicans were the folks that tried to end all this. It was like, there is some guilt. We need to have a free market. We need to hire people. We need to promote free market. We need to lift people up. You know, my grandma would always stop if she saw an old black lady walking down the road in the country and give her a ride. You know, there's definitely a white guilt there, but it was, we need to build these people up, my gosh, black groups are resegregating all over the country at colleges. Yeah. It's sickening. So where is that going then?
That is a real worry to me. I do think that you could see more, and this is by design, right? Divide and conquer with Barack Obama. We have the first black president. I know I thought at least, like, all right, that's happened now. Maybe there'll be some healing so we can actually talk about the issues. No, it's gotten far worse, and that's by design. I do think you're going to see a pendulum swing. You're going to see a little bit more racism, unfortunately, with this younger generation. You can only have so many riots and so many hate groups, and like you've talked about.
So much flaming minority racism. The media has said, it's white people's fault. Whites are inherently bad. They have family magazines coming out saying blonde hair is evil. It's reached a crazy level.
I haven't heard of that.
Maybe I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. It says if you see a blonde hair, blue-eyed family, look out and go confront them about their homogeneity.
Gosh. Well, again, look back, like I was saying, Family Matters and Fresh Prince. When I was raised, it wasn't even really something that was thought about. No, it doesn't mean we don't need to be sensitive. Of course, there's a different experience for black Americans growing up, and you want to have a dialogue and be sensitive, but it's really hard to have that dialogue when they're turning over cop cars. And by the way, this isn't most black people. Again, this is a small minority who've grabbed the microphone.
That's bust in.
Yes.
So let me ask you this then. Why did the liberal media decide, because Hillary, even in the 2008 election, she was more law and order and all this stuff, and wasn't pushing race war things. When did they decide, the last 4, 5, 6 years, to just go pure race? The old days, the KKK managed race through racist white people. They lost that when the Republicans passed the Civil Rights Act thing, so they flipped to represent minorities, but then it was this big kumbaya. When did it flip, double down, to go with race-based politics with minorities?
It's funny you should say that, because I predicted this, and I think we saw it somewhat, where it went from accusing all of your opposition of being racist with Obama to accusing them all of being sexist with Hillary. And we've definitely seen that, right? All of a sudden, the wage gap myth is a huge issue again. Everyone's talking about it, and it's silly. Of course, it's untrue. We don't even need to give that any airtime. But I think they're still continuing with the race issue with the Clintons, particularly because she's one of the weakest Democratic candidates if you look at the black demographics, because, right, with Bill Clinton, they incarcerated more black people than ever. Now, here's the deal. They have a 3-strike rule. I'm not even saying that that's necessarily a horrible thing. I think if you commit 3 serious crimes, preferably violent crimes, not 3 minor infractions, I think you probably should do some time. However, that did not play well with the black community. So blacks are primed and ready to dislike Hillary Clinton. So they were planning on going with the whole misogynist sexism wage gap. And then they said, oh, my gosh, the poll numbers have come in. Black people really don't like you as much as they like Barack Obama. I know. Let's drum up some more race wars and I'll tell them that I'm championing their cause.
And she was even going to go to Charlotte.
Yeah, with her hot sauce in her purse, she's going to fix the problem. The pandering with her, she doesn't even have the same accent, depending on who she's speaking with. It's just
I was about to ask you, why do you think she talks like a robot, a hillbilly one day, it's bizarre, all these weird accents.
Well, this is what the left does, right? They're entirely run by polls. And that's why I have a problem with, sort of this neo-populist movement, where I still think principles are important to a degree, because you don't want to be like the Clintons. Look at Joe Biden. They're going to put you all back in chains. What? What, Joe? Why did you all of a sudden...
Yeah, why would you go, he's going to put you all back in chains? That would be very insulting. It's like when Rick Perry went and spoke to a Hispanic group in Mexico, and he's like, hello, how you do? I mean, if you had some New Yorker come to give me a speech, I'd love them to speak in a New York accent. That's why I like Trump being himself. But if somebody came to Texas and went, I just got off the airplane in New York, and then, how you doing there, Alex? I would be insulted by that.
Yeah, I think Hillary Clinton is one step away from going to the border wall and talking to the immigrants with Senior Wences drawn in her hand. So that's right, we want your vote. Okay, senor, good job. She is so awful, and I think it's so plain. Here's the beauty, though, with Hillary Clinton. She's so bad at it that everyone sees it. So it's lifted the veil, I think, for a lot of people where they're going, all right, I get it. And the same thing with the accusations with Trump of racism, sexism. Everyone's going, yeah, but you know what? You said that about Mitt Romney, and you said that about John McCain, and you said that about George W. Bush.
What do you make about Lester Holt, 40-plus interruptions, only 6 for Hillary? I mean, that looked pretty skewed to me.
It did look skewed. I will say this. Donald Trump didn't clearly answer a few questions where if I were the moderator, I would have followed up as well. So I think it still was biased, but I think if we need to be objective and say, all right, he didn't have a great second half, and he was going around, and they needed to be corralled in, and he was interrupting Hillary more than she interrupted him. I also understand that he was fighting two people. Listen, people said he was a registered Republican, Lester Holt. I don't know how true that is, and maybe he checked the box, the default box. With the debate, I thought Donald Trump was doing really well for the first 15 minutes. Again, objectively, if people want to tune into a show with cheerleading, I'm not the guy.
No, I agree. I thought the first 25, he won the debate. But overall, it's really hard to tell.
I don't think, ironically enough, I don't think he had the stamina later on. And it's like a good fighter. She's been to the championship rounds before. You know, you see that with, you know, Joe Rogan. Fighters are used to fighting 3 5-minute rounds. When you're fighting for a belt, it's 5 5-minute rounds. And fighters who haven't been there before, who look like a Greek god for the first 3 rounds, they're like a deer in the headlights. I think we saw that a little bit with Trump, and maybe he'll prepare a little bit better. So I understand what people are saying. I don't think this was as bad as a Candy Crowley moment, and I don't want people to jump on every, you know, whether it's Lester Holt, whether it's the microphone situation, because even you see it in sports. People will see it as whining, even if they're legitimate gripes. I'd rather see Trump put his head down, get to work, and do better next time, because there is room for improvement.
I agree with you. And look, I like Trump. I know Trump. He's a populist. I like the fact that he's so blunt and honest about things. Even things I disagree with, the fact that he's honest about it is a major plus. I've seen him change his view on things, not flip-flop, but when he's given more information. And I just think he's light years better than Hillary Clinton. The fact that the foreign governments, the Saudis, the Chinese communists are against him. I think this is really Brexit, too, we're about to see. And I think Trump will win unless there's huge election fraud. Now, I want to go to a clip since you mentioned the black community. I have to tell you, I think it really is a misnomer that 90% of blacks really are supporting Democrats, because in my experience on the ground, it's 20-30%. And of all a lot of these classic hip hop stars, whether it's Ice-T or Ice Cube, they're pro-gun. They see through stuff. They're really smart. Here's what Ice Cube had to say. Donald Trump is what Americans love about the American dream. And then he talks about Hillary and the point you made about super predators. Here is Ice Cube.
Well, you know, Donald Trump is what Americans love. Donald Trump is what Americans aspire to be. Rich, powerful, do what you want to do, say what you want to say, be how you want to be. That's kind of been like the American dream. So he looks like a boss to everybody, and Americans love to have a boss. So, you know, that's his appeal to me.
So there you go. What do you make of that, Mr. Crowder?
Come on afterwards and say, by the way, I think Trump is horrible. And he said, so people took me out of context. So I do want to be fair with that. However, it does show you that there is a mob mentality where I think you're right. I think there are a lot more, particularly if you go to a church like my family, they go to a church that's very mixed, probably 40% white, probably 30% black. And then, you know, everything else kind of filed in the middle. You'll have people who will step out and say, well, because of my principles, I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. And then they are excoriated. I mean, they lose family members. They won't talk to them anymore if they come out and say it. So,
well, sure, Trump's got problems. But, I mean, Hillary is a master James Bond criminal who's been caught lying and blowing up countries and working with radical Islam. I mean, she's so evil, I can't even believe it, quite frankly.
No, I think you're absolutely right. My point is, in the black community, even with that being said, if they come out and it even sounds like they're being positive about Republicans, it's just not allowed in the black community.
There's major bullying.
There is major bullying, and so I think those numbers would be different if they... Here's one thing. You want to talk about white privilege? Here's one thing. I was talking with Tommy Sotomayor on my show. I do have a privilege in the sense that, as a white person, I can be called stupid or racist for being a Republican. However, As a black person, you are entirely expected to be a Democrat your entire life. And if you go against it, it causes rifts in families and friends. And that's one thing I don't envy with a lot of black people who are thinking independently who may go for Trump or may go for Gary Johnson. If they're not going for Hillary Clinton, they're going to have a tough go with their circle of friends.
Exactly. And I'm going to be honest. I grew up in the gateway, you know, from the west to the south in Texas. You know, East Texas is the south. As south as it gets, the rest is, you know, the west. I mean, we really are in the middle here. And I grew up where I never heard racist talk. I mean, even under the breath stuff. In fact, I saw white guilt. I mean, I saw Salvation Army. I saw donating. I saw free medical care. You know, I saw it all. Which I get. You try to lift up people and try to fix rifts. Not even if you're guilty. Just you try to do the right thing.
Right.
When I started getting around Democrats and traveling around the country and getting behind closed doors, it's like you think they're testing you and they start saying all this racist stuff. And they go, no, I am like that. And you're like, wow. And then you realize, wait, just 40, 50 years ago, these guys were the KKK. And I mean, it's just crazy to watch blacks and minorities worshiping them because they're selling a race-based system to them, which is, I guess, tribal when you know the history. Closing comments, 60 seconds.
Oh, gosh, 60 seconds. No, I think you're right about that. I think it's unfortunate more people don't know about it. I will say this. If racism is just as rampant as people talk about, this is anecdotal. I've heard the N-word used once, seriously in my life, and it was by a kid in West Virginia at a Bob Evans when I was doing a show. And I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe that I heard it, which just made me realize how rare it actually was in my interactions with Democrats, including people who are in current office, by the way, for leftist shows. The racism, the prejudice of soft expectations, of assuming that these people are incapable and that they need them to come.
That's the real racism, is that these people have to be taken care of.
I see that so much, and it is grossly offensive to use the word.
It is. They want to control us. It's modern slavery. Steven Crowder, thank you so much for the time. Great job, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You bet. We're going to be right back. Stay with us. We had a lot of news.
Crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years, survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping and has been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free, just cover $9.95 shipping. Go to freefood2.com right now. Supplies are limited and the program may end at any time. Go to freefood2.com now. That's freefood2.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the highest quality body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order. Why would you go anywhere else? KD offers rifle thread-rated armor up to level 4. And now introducing trauma pads. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free water filter for a limited time with any body armor package. Go to KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
Don't miss a special event coming to movie theaters for one night only. Thursday, September 29th, Targeted, Exposing the Gun Control Agenda. Winton's Motion Pictures presents this hard-hitting town hall event and documentary featuring Governor Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, former NRA President David Keene, and more. Targeted is followed by a panel debate on gun control in America. Take a stand for freedom on September 29th. Tickets are limited. Go to targetedthemovie.com. That's targetedthemovie.com. TARGETED, themovie.com.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to bring the globalists down together, my friends. Okay, we have massive breaking news. This is going to go into the next hour with Roger Stone. I saw him texting me frantically earlier, and then Nico ran in during the break, and he said, have you seen this? We have the clip from C-SPAN. I saw Comey during the break on national news, the FBI director, who's being grilled over the fact by Republicans that they never intended to go after Hillary. They gave him all immunity. It was all staged. Representative Nadler asked the FBI about something I was told about 3 weeks ago by Roger Stone. We're getting on the line right now. And then I had already been contacted by some Pentagon sources and others saying, listen, you've got the Justice Department looking at you. And I said, for what? And they were like, threats to Hillary and Russia. Now, I know my phones are tapped, too, because a lot of weird stuff's been going on. And, I mean, I have no connection to Russia other than the fact that Russia doesn't want to be in the New World Order, neither do I. I mean, it's just crazy. Okay, it's crazy. There's a lot more I don't want to get into here, obviously. The leaks we've gotten are from, like, the Secret Service and stuff. But I told you, this is dangerous what we're doing, okay? We're not playing tiddlywinks. That's why we need your prayers. We need your support. InfoWarsLife.com. We have the new super probiotic biome defense everybody needs. A lot of other great products, books, videos, water filters, non-GMO seeds. Air filters. This is, I mean, the best products. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, 888-253-3139. They just shut down Michael Savage. We're going to play his last two interviews with us or clips of it the next hour with David Knight. But we're going to play a clip going out to break and then come back with Roger Stone. Some stations don't carry the fourth hour. A lot do. InfoWars.com/show. But this is from Media Matters, which is the White House. You've got David Brock connected to all this embezzlement and, you know, taking money and going around the 501c3 and all the rest of it. That's okay. But then the fact that Roger Stone, they're trying to claim, works for the Russians, and by extension that we're being looked at for working for the Russians, just shows how crazy this has gotten. So let's play 2 minutes of this exchange. Come back to Roger Stone here in just a moment. We just got on the line. This just happened about 30 minutes ago. Here it is.
Questions about that. In his early remarks, Mr. Conyers referenced an August 30th letter from the ranking members of a number of House committees. That letter asked whether the FBI was investigating troubling connections between Trump campaign officials and Russian interests, and whether they contributed to the illegal hacking of the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic National Campaign Committee. You're familiar with that letter, I take it?
Yes, I'm familiar with the letter.
I'd like to ask you a few questions. The letter said this, and I quote, on August 8th, 2016, Roger Stone, a Donald Trump confidant, revealed that he has communicated with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange about the upcoming release of additional illegally hacked Democratic documents. Mr. Stone made these statements during a Republican campaign event while answering a question about a potential October surprise. Obviously, if someone is stating publicly that he is in direct communication with the organization that obtained these illegally hacked documents, I assume the FBI would want to talk to that person. Has the FBI interviewed Roger Stone about his communications with Julian Assange or his knowledge of how WikiLeaks got these illegally obtained documents?
I can't comment on that.
Mr. Stone stated that he has knowledge about upcoming leaks of additional illegally hacked documents. Has the FBI asked him about those communications?
I also can't comment on that.
Because it's an ongoing investigation?
I don't want to confirm whether there is or is not an investigation. That's the way I answered Mr. Conyers' questions as well.
Director Comey, the FBI acknowledged in public statements and testimony that it was investigating Secretary Clinton's use of a private email server, and that was while the investigation was still ongoing. Now you can't comment on whether there's an investigation. Is there a different standard for Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump? If not, what is the consistent standard?
No, our standard is we do not confirm or deny the existence of investigations. There's an exception for that when there is a need for the public to be reassured. Obviously, it's apparent given our activities, public activities, that the investigation is ongoing. But our overwhelming rule is we do not comment except in certain.
All right, that's enough. We're going to go to break and come back with Roger Stone in 70 seconds. And again, it's one thing to be told about this, another thing to actually see it happening. They're trying to claim Trump is a Russian agent, ladies and gentlemen. And you've seen them on national news say that I'm a Russian agent with Trump and what's the other guy? Vladimir Putin.